And welcome to episode 458 of the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and I'm so happy to be here that I'm not even going to give any kind of sort of pre-pod bants. We're just going to get right into it and say hello to the one and the only Christopher Hyde.
Hello, mate. You're right. You, that mate? Was very. Yeah. That was a very dramatic pause. Like, which Chris is it going to be?
Exactly that.
Yeah. And I wonder if people are pleasantly surprised or bitterly disappointed that it's not Mr. White this week. It's me you're stuck with, I'm afraid. What do you think?
I can't answer that because I'd come off super bad
Chris?
Either way. Yeah, like, yeah. Which of your children do you like the most? But it isn't just myself and Chris, although Chris, nope. There he is, handsome as ever. However, there's a third person this week, and it's not the third person that it might normally be. It's not Adam Carroll. It's not Chris White. It's not even Mick Fraser. It's not even Sean Smith, for crying out loud. I don't normally do this, but I've actually pre-titled this podcast. Normally, the podcast title comes from something someone says that's particularly funny, but this one, I think, is aptly summed up by just calling this episode Welcoming the Madness. Hello, Lyle. How are you?
Hello there. What a grand beginning for everybody today.
Oh, mate. Professional hosting is, I don't know what to tell you.
Very exciting for everyone, I'm sure. But yeah, I think I'm probably the most excited to be here. Long time listener, first time host. And yeah, ready to get stuck in.
Fair comment. Well, get stuck in we shall, because Gamescom is happening as we go live. Gamescom is still happening. And we can talk about some of that if you like, but there's, you know, part of Gamescom was that Microsoft showed a lot of their games. One of which is out now, and you've played it all the way through. I've played about 7, 8. It's a difficult game to quantify because I spent a lot of time not really progressing anything, just wondering. But we're talking about Psychonauts 2. Massive 9.5 out of 10 on the site. I mean, Chris is sitting there going, I can see him going, I really want to play this.
Come on, I want to hear all about it. This feels like it's going to be right on my street, so I want to hear all about it.
I mean, Lyle, one of your favourite games of all time, the original?
Yeah, really, really love the original. The original is just one of those games that I remember really clearly, like, picking it up. I think it was like on a Saturday after, you know, going out with my mates as a teenager, and it was this game I was sort of, like, so desperate to play, picking it up, and just being sort of, like, brought into this charming world. It was my first Double Fine game, so, like, I wasn't used to sort of the Double Fine humour, if you will, as well, and... Mm. Yeah, absolutely love the first game, and the second really didn't disappoint.
I wondered about it because I was like, you know, it is one of those that, I mean, what was it, 16 years, I think? 16 years this has been coming?
Yeah, and something like that.
And, like, that's kind of a generation. I mean, it is literally, like, multiple generations of console ago, but I played a bit of the original recently, kind of just almost, like, hyping myself up for it. It has aged. Like, there's it's still good, but it has aged, like it, and I was a bit worried that Psychonauts 2 would have, it would just be more, if that makes sense. Whereas, like, straight away, as soon as you control Raz, that it's a modern video game. That's the thing I would want to get across, I think, the most, is it's a modern video game. I don't know if you had any similar worries or anything, but
I had the exact same thought. I would thought this is going to be more Psychonauts, and that the people who played the original maybe late and didn't really get it would not really enjoy it. But I think Psychonauts 2 plays how you remember Psychonauts.
Yes.
Plays. It's just the fond memories you have of Psychonauts, like when you play Psychonauts 2, it's just that good. Everything's just tightened up that little bit more. Everything's more polished. It looks beautiful. And then from the very beginning, like, the charm sets in. There's no sort of, like, kind of bland couple of tutorial levels or anything like that. You get straight stuck in. You get your powers a lot faster without being confusing. And it's just so good. There wasn't 5 minutes where I wasn't smiling at something ridiculous happening or some aspect of the world, or even just like how amazing the background was, or how just completely unique and like something I could never have imagined exploring in a game almost.
I totally get what you're saying. Like, it is one of those games because I at one point I was like, have we started now then? Because it starts, well, I was gonna say right off the first game, but kind of after the VR game, which is it's continuous. Like, there's no, this is 10 years later, this is like, yep, we're carrying on from what you know what's previously been released. I really like the VR game, for the record. If anyone hasn't played it and can, I would actually quite recommend it. It's really good fun, and it keeps that Psychonauts vibe. But this one, like, there was a point where I was playing it going, are we just going? Like, when you, I won't spoil anything, obviously, but once you, like, go the casino level, which is pretty early on, although, again, I spent a lot of time just mucking around it at HQ. I was like, hang on. We're not doing tutorial levels, are we? We're just, there's like, there are tutorial bits, but we're not doing, like you say, there's not like this big, and this is the first world, and it's a tutorial. It's like, you're just, you just go. It's like a, I really appreciate that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it was great to just not have, it was great to go in full speed and just sort of, like, it wasn't too difficult for anyone who hadn't played, like, the original or anything, but it wasn't holding your hand sort of either. It was just straight in there. If you've played a 3D platform game before, you're going to be fine anyway. Yeah, just get to experience it, get to experience the world, get to get straight into sort of these mad areas that you, you're just exploring these sort of strange minds of people. It was so good. And then I think the next thing that really caught me by surprise was how fun it was to explore the hubs and the open areas, because in the first game I think I mainly just sort of went from world to world and didn't spend that long, because, you know, it was a long time ago. It just wasn't sort of as deep an area to find collectibles hidden. And in it, just as soon as the world starts to open up in Psychonauts 2, I was spending like 2-3 hours between each world, just like finding a collectible at the top of a rail you could grind, or finding a tree and seeing that there was like a little side card just floating up there waiting for you to get it.
Sounds like my kind of game, that. Finding collectibles in nooks and crannies.
Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, now you've said that.
I just never leave
the
hub.
No, the thing is about this game is that there's the original as well, but there's a lot of collectibles. And I mean, and I get it. I have like a degree of what you're talking about, where I kind of, so each time you go into a mine, you'll get like, Lyle, what did you call them in the review? I'd never, you know, the little things you collect that are like,
oh,
images,
the figments.
Yeah, the sort of like, yeah, they're kind of, they are related to that world, and they're like sort of opaque almost, but not fully.
Yeah, they almost look like sort of like neon signs. Don't
yeah,
they?
That's just it.
Like a bright outline.
But the thing is, I think, and you might be able to confirm this, I think I'm pretty sure there are some you can't get first time around, or certainly aren't easy to get. Like there,
I'm pretty certain there are some that you can't get. Yeah, like there is, because as you level up by finding these and finding all these different collectibles and sort of rank up Raz, you can upgrade some powers. So there's one power where you sort of dash from cloud to cloud to sort of like teleport up to places. And I think one of the latest upgrades you can get is there are some you can then teleport to that are sort of like bad thoughts.
Yeah,
like
dark thoughts
something
or bad,
like that.
Yeah, it's one of the two. Yeah, and I noticed them early on, but then actually in the teeth level that people are seeing a bit of now, I mean, it's not a spoiler because there's so many different, that even that teeth level is so varied in itself. There's those thought bubbles, but not the dark ones, just the normal thought bubbles, which you haven't yet got that skill. So even that one, I think you have to, like, so Chris, if you're seeing the video, like, it's that little house there, the little broken spoon, those sort of neon signs. And when you pick one up, it does ping up in the corner, usually telling you, like, oh, that's number, well, like, there you go, so that's number 71 of 80. And I thought, but that's the thing. I thought, oh, that's not too bad. And then I got to my first, like, big level, and it was like, oh, that's one of, oh my God, how many? Nearly 300. And don't get me wrong, they are everywhere. No, they're everywhere though, aren't they? You can't, you know, but there are some pretty, and that's not the only collectible either. It is a very video game. Like, very. But, and I don't want to bring people down, but like, I feel like it would be really, not unfair, but I think, you know, you've addressed it. I've mentioned it to Chris, like the way they deal with like mental health and stuff in this game, I just find it to be quite sort of tender and understanding, and in a way that I don't think, I'm not saying no other games have done mental health, but I think they do it. I think they've done their diligence and research, I suppose, is what I'm.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I don't know as much of this series at all, right? It's surprising no one that I haven't played the original, right? But like, I think what I think is really interesting from what you've said and read about it is, like, you're right, games have done mental health before, but they tend to tread carefully and almost seriously.
Yeah, it's almost over doing. Serious. Like, it's we can't laugh about that.
We can't have fun with anything. Yeah. We have to be serious when we're talking about it. And it is obviously a very serious subject.
Yeah, of course.
But there's a difference between being serious and being respectful. And this kind of feels like it's very respectful, but it's also it's a game, which is about having fun, right? Which, you know, I think that's what's coming across to me is like that's different about this, the way it deals with it.
Mm. Yeah, the way it handles it is sort of, it doesn't really feel like it's it doesn't feel like it's a game where there's this huge focus on mental health. It's more you're in minds and you're investigating people's minds, so it only makes sense that it's there. But Psychonauts is also a light-hearted, fun platform game, so it's sort of it treats it with respect, like you're saying. But it's not this big landmark. This game is about mental health. It's just this is a fun platformer, and it wouldn't make sense if we didn't bring mental health into it, since you're investigating people's minds.
Yeah,
I just felt like it was done in such a, I don't know, I just felt it was done in such a clever way. Like in as you say, like they don't really. It's not like Glowing Light said, look at this, aren't we good? Aren't we clever? Mm-hmm. It's not that. But it's also not incidental. I guess it is that middle ground of like it's kind of destigmatizing in a way, because it's like lots of people have these problems and we're not going to like make it about that. That is this person is more than that problem. But it is a part of them, and I just found it. Maybe it's a personal thing, but it really, I'm not gonna say touched a nerve. That's not quite what I mean. But it really, I just found it so. I just kind of warm. Like the whole game, I think, feels that way. Like it is such a warm game. Like it feels like you want to give it a hug. Like you know what I mean. I don't know if it's because it is quite. You know, the visuals are that. You know, I guess Nintendo-y, colourful kind of thing. But it's just. Everything about this game feels like it's just only love. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah. I do think that just because it was hard to sort of imagine how they'd managed to make such a sequel to such a sort of beloved game. And I think for a lot of people after Psychonauts, other Double Fine games didn't quite scratch that itch, if you know what I mean. Not necessarily that they were bad or anything. There are some brilliant Double Fine games in between, you know, this 16-year period or whatever. But this feels like it had such a careful development. It just everything is so polished, everything just sort of feels
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to actually that's something else that I don't know why I was surprised by it, but I was. It really is polished. I'm not saying there aren't any bugs. I can only say I didn't encounter any
so and far. I'm the same.
It just seems really polished, and I don't know if that's like, you know, listen, it is on PlayStation as well. I don't know if that is part of them. Perhaps Microsoft gave them some of their QA teams or support. I don't know. I'll probably never know, but I just it really is a polished video game. Like it runs really well on everything I tried it on, and I actually predominantly played it on Series S, I think, actually, and PC. So like it ran really well. I don't know, you know, someone in our Discord was saying it was fine on Xbox One as well.
Yeah, that was me. I played quite a bit.
You did as well.
A few levels on Xbox One as well, just my base Xbox One. And I mean, there were a few for frame rate issues, and the loading was sort of like night and day. But you know, just what you'd expect, really.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing is it loads. I didn't do a proper test, so I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I think it loaded quicker on my Series S than it did on my PC. And my PC's all SSDs as well. But I guess it's that thing of we've built this to do this. I can't recommend the game enough. Like, I actually was surprised almost. In fairness, you've got further in than I did at the time. I was almost expecting a 10. Like, do you know what I mean? I was thinking, well, and I wasn't going to be able to argue it. Not that I have to, but you know what I mean. It was like, yeah, no, fair enough.
I mean, it was hard to not give a 10. I'll say that much.
It's always a good thing when someone's in the mix for a 10, though, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know, it's one of those special games when it's up there.
Yeah. No, it is a special game. Lyle, you can't really talk about the other games on your plate at the moment.
Not right now.
But maybe, and it's a bit frustrating because as we're live, we can't talk about it. But yeah. When this goes public to everyone on the Monday, the embargo for the other big game will be up. And it's a game I really can't wait to talk about. But we can't.
Yep.
So let's talk to Chris Hyde about some aliens. Some aliens, yes. Fire team. Some
aliens, fire team elite. Yeah. Let's give it the full proper name. So Mick reviewed this for the site. So definitely go and check out his review. He gave it a 7 out of 10. I want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in a similar place from what I've played. I've not played all of Mix. Clearly, obviously, finished it and gone above and beyond and everything. I've not played as much. For me, Aliens Fireteam Elite is one of those games that it's one of those games where you'll have sort of feelings of 5 out of 10 moments and 9 out of 10 moments, and it will kind of flip flop between them. And so it'll be this 7 out of 10 that you'll at times you'll get a lot of pleasure from, and then at other times you'll be a little bit like, and you feel a little bit like it's a bit of a wasted opportunity. So essentially, it's a co-op shooter. You're in teams of three, and if there's less of you than three, then you've got AIs.
Why is it three?
I don't know. That's the first. There are four classes to choose.
There's actually five. There's one, and a sixth coming.
Yeah. So there's more than three classes, but can you choose the same class as well?
But you can.
For some reason, you're limited to three. I guess that's where the balancing comes in. They think more than that would just imbalance the game. But yeah, there's teams of three, and if there's less than three of you, you're with AI. I will say straight off the bat, that the AI is pretty terrible. So you need two friends.
I'd go one further. I would say if you cannot play this with friends, do not buy it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think you need... This game is infinitely better with a team of three people playing it. Even randoms, I would encourage that over the AI, because the AI are incredibly useless and don't maximize the different different perks and things and skills that the various different classes have. You don't get that benefit. So you're playing with three friends, and what the thing that became really apparent to me in this game, there's I think four missions in the story, and there's like three parts to each mission, right? If there will be some people that will play the first mission of this game and just go nope, and that's a really big shame, because the first mission is set on a ship, and it's literally just
the most alien type level
because it's on a ship, but it's literally just corridors and rooms, and it feels, the environments feel very samey, forgettable after you've done it a few times, and if anything exacerbate the gameplay loop, which is essentially you go get into a new area, kill enough aliens or other enemies until your kind of quest marker reappears and you can move on to the next area. That's literally the loop. And there will be some areas where you get to a thing that you have to defend for a certain period of time from an onslaught as well. But essentially the same thing, clear enough enemies out before you can progress. And that is essentially the loop. Now in a map or a mission where the rooms look the same and the gameplay loop is the same, you're sitting there going, is this it? Is this all this is? Because this feels very, very kind of confined in what it's doing. Like it feels very repetitive, and like I said, the repetition is amplified because of the loop. So I remember me and Adam played that first mission. I was like, I don't know if I want to play any more of this now, hampered by the fact we had an AI that was dragging us down like nobody's business.
Not to hammer the point home, I specifically mean, if you don't have a full roster of friends to play this game with, don't buy it.
Unless
you literally are like, okay, me and my mate and his mate, it doesn't matter, but it must be three human players. I cannot stress that enough.
We thought we'd had bad AI in the Back for Blood beta, and then we hadn't seen nothing until
but that's a really interesting comparison, man, because Back for Blood, and I don't know if it's that thing of, because I haven't got it, I want it, do you know what I mean, like I've had a taste of it and now I can't play it anymore. But Back 4 Blood was very much one of those where, and a lot of, I've mentioned this before, like with Destiny, with Back 4 Blood, it's like, I have to stop playing this now because I cannot stop playing this now. And they're going to stop letting me, so I have to stop now on my terms so I can just go, right, I know this is going to be good. And I will say, on that game, there seems to be a lot of shit and a lot of people complaining about it, and I just really like it. But whatever, that's not the game we're talking about. This is, and I don't know if it's because of Back 4 Blood, I had it in my head this was a first-person shooter as well, but it's a third-person shooter. I mean, people have seen the footage. They're very different. Like, this doesn't feel dynamic in any way to me. Yet the idea is there's these aliens pouring literally out of eye holes and statues and out of the vents, and yet, to me, I think one of the biggest problems, and you kind of hit upon it there, is that this game has no dynamism whatsoever. You are, once you've seen the first lot of aliens, there will be other aliens, but you are going to go to point A, you're going to reload, and it also, I mean, I know it's aliens and not alien, but there's no fear, because you can stand next to the smart gun is ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah,
but the idea is, but you don't have all the ammo. But when the encounters, there's an infinite refueling station next to you.
Yeah. The thing is, this game was never going to be scary because it's literally almost like an arcadey third-person shooter. Like, there's no fear when there's so many enemies.
Okay, let me rephrase. Not necessarily fear, then. What about tension? What about tension?
Yeah, so there could be... the tension is completely lacking. The thing is, the thing I find with this game is that it kind of, like, you have like the grunt enemies, like the aliens, and they're literally hundreds of them, right? That attack you in a mission, like hundreds. So I actually said, Lyle, you'll appreciate it. I said it's like a shooting Musou game. There's that many bloody enemies that you're and they're very, very weak. Like, considering what these are, how strong these aliens should be in the films, like, you literally just pour it, like, so many are dying.
They
like,
are cannon fodder. They are literally fodder. Cannon fodder.
And then you'll get like the odd
warrior or whatever it's called, the big guy.
Yeah, the big strong enemies that literally are the exact opposite and are just bullets. But you literally
proper
just
tanks.
Like, got to literally just keep going and going and going and going and going. And there's no middle ground. It's like either a few shots and they're dead, or like you just have to keep going on and hope all three of you are going at this same enemy for so long. It just feels like, in that sense, there's no like gray area. It's just like one or the other, and it's a shame because if there was more variety than that, I think it would land. That's not to say there aren't different types of enemies, because there are, but they still feel like they fall into one of those two, either ridiculously weak or ridiculously strong.
They nail the aliens sound effects and the visuals.
Yeah.
What they don't nail, and I saw a comment, and you know, I know they say don't read the comments, but I saw a comment where someone was like, yeah, but this is aliens, not alien. I don't think that's fair, because aliens, the film Aliens, have we all seen it? I'm assuming, yeah. Lyle, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Right, so yes, Alien and Aliens, very different films, but they are both tense affairs. Like, like Aliens, yes, there's like a lot more. It's more of an action film, but it's still got tension, it's still got atmosphere, it's still got peaks and troughs in that respect. And this... like, I don't know why I don't even know why I'm labouring the point, because it's almost like I'm going, and I'd give it a 3 out of 10. You know what I mean? No, I wouldn't, but I wouldn't. I just think it's fine.
Yeah, and I think what I will say, because what I was saying about, obviously, people would look at that first mission and could well give up. For me, you get into that second mission and play with three players, which is the massive difference. When we enlisted Mick and had three players playing that second mission, and I was like, oh, okay, there is a little bit, you know, it's more of a cavernous environment, there's more open spaces, there is still corridors and, you know, and rooms, essentially, but it feels different. But also, there are then rooms where you have synth enemies and you're playing more of a cover shooter, because they're shooting back, they're not just running at you trying to gouge your eyes out, they're actually synths that are shooting back at you, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, cover shooter, okay, that's a bit of...
And it's a like competent one.
Yeah, and it works as a cover shooter quite well. You're like, okay, there's a bit of variety. I'm enjoying this a little bit more. I've not got a third wheel that's like dragging us down. You start to understand how some of the perks of some of the different classes work together, and you know, we started figuring that out. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm having actually a pretty decent time with this. I can't shake the fact that it's repetitive and it's only got a couple of ideas.
You just keep expecting it to do something different.
Yeah, and it kind of never does.
Well,
and
I haven't finished it. Maybe it does.
No, but I don't think reading Mick's review, it doesn't sound like it elevates it too much. There are a couple of things it does differently, a couple of ideas, but never really goes, okay, here's the hand we haven't been showing you, like in the third or fourth mission. Which is a shame, I think, because I think that will mean that people will bounce off it quicker than maybe they could have done if there was a bit more variety. Because I think the class system and the perk system is quite deep. Challenge cards are quite interesting when you unlock some of those. And
You were playing with controller, right?
Yeah.
I think Mick was as well. And you found it, all of us were on PC, but you found it all right? The one thing I found about it is because of the speed of the aliens, I wouldn't have wanted to try a controller because I don't think I'd have had the sensitivity of a mouse. Like, you people watching the video footage will see the jerkiness of a mouse being used, but
I think if when you look at some of the challenge cards where we take your HUD away, if I couldn't see which directions the aliens are coming from on my HUD, and so therefore know where to start looking, I think I'd have really struggled with it. Like, it almost gives you a starting point to go, okay, they're coming from this direction. And it could be any direction. You know, it's a very 360. Some of them, they'll come behind you and stuff. So that helped, I think, because at least it gives you a starting point. If there wasn't that, blimey, with my old man reactions and a controller, I think I'd really struggle. Oh, wow. With that HUD, it does help me a little bit. I think it makes kind of balances a little bit to be able to be done on controller. But I get your point. Always going to have more precision with the mouse, right? That's just.
I would be curious though, because I know Lyle likes this genre. I think we all do. I think the co-op shooter. I know you're excited for Left 4 Dead. Sorry, Back 4 Blood. Hey! Wow, there you go.
I didn't even mean
there
that.
I didn't Left 4 mean Dead it. 3. No, I didn't. You mentioned you've seen Aliens. Are you a fan though? Or was it just you've seen? I mean, a lot of people have seen it, but
I've seen. I think I've seen Alien and Aliens, but that's sort of the limit of it.
You kind of stopped at the right point, many would argue. So.
Well, yeah, and I've liked a lot of Alien and Aliens games, like Alien Isolation, the Alien versus Predator games, things like that. From the sounds of this, I'm not necessarily sort of jumping out my seat to go download it now.
No, that's fair. I would say to people, go read the review. Mick's pretty much on the money. I think there's it is one of those where if you find a group of people that you will play it regularly with, I think you absolutely would get your money's worth out of it. But I cannot stress enough, if you do not have that group, and even if you're it'll be fine, I'll play with the AI and I'll go through the campaign and it'll be aliens in it. But seriously. Yeah. Chris, what else have you been playing?
So, just straight on. So, yeah. This week I've also been playing 12 Minutes. Which I know you've
long-awaited.
The long-awaited 12 Minutes. So it's on Game Pass now. So, try it yourselves. But I've got a few things to say about this game. I feel very conflicted.
Hang on, if you're going to lead in with that, I'm going to put you full screen, mate.
I thought you were showing gameplay. Or
no, I was. But if you're going to say things like, I've got a few things to say about this game on a podcast, then,
With my monocle on. No, yeah.
I wish.
Yeah, I know. So let's set the stall out first. What kind of game we're looking at here? So essentially,
you describe to me how you would describe this game. Tell me how you would describe this game.
So 12 Minutes is a recurring loop game, which is also a point and click adventure game. Okay, so the idea being is that you have a set amount of time to figure stuff out.
You've passed the test, by the way, just so you know.
Okay, good. This game is going to be very hard to talk about without spoiling any key plot points. I'm going to do my very best to not spoil anything.
Didn't they kind of announce it?
I can't quite remember which bits they have shown.
They said it's about a home invasion that you are trying to fend off or stop, I guess, by repeating the loop. And I would probably stop there in terms of...
So the idea is that something happens, I guess, about halfway through the 12-minute allotted time, and then you kind of replay the loop until you discover enough to change events by either doing things differently in those first sort of five-ish minutes or having different conversations or whatever. So the idea being is that you iteratively learn some new things or try some new things out. You learn more, you progress the story, but you're still doing the same loop over and again. You still have the same confined time, but you know more each time, and your character retains all the information that they've learned throughout. So that's the idea of it, okay? And like I say, the way in which you're learning more is very much a point-and-click adventure game. So it's conversation trees with you know, you're there and your wife is in the apartment, so you'll have various conversations with her. There's also various objects and things, some of which you can pick up, some of which you can interact with. And obviously that's the part where it sounds very point and click, you know, Monkey Island, technical, that type of stuff. And what I will say is the problem and that I think a lot of people will have with 12 minutes is because of the nature of the repeating loop. What it does is, yes, admittedly, it succeeds in what it's supposed to do, which is create tension. It absolutely does that because you're on the clock every single time. It's like a extreme version of Majora's Mask. You've literally got a few minutes to progress a little bit before you do the big rewind and start again. However, it doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form to try and speed up proceedings very much, right? So for example, like, you'll figure something out, and you might figure something out after 5 minutes, and then you have to play. You might find something out that you can only, that an information or an item that you can only use towards the end of the next loop. So you have to then sit through and do the same thing again and again and again, because you know that loop progresses the story, and you have to repeat yourself. And I'll be honest, that can get frustrating. And it gets very frustrating if you replay the same loop and think you know what you're doing, and what you think you need to do is wrong, because then you have to do it all again to try your second idea or your third idea.
Yeah.
And there
it's
are
trial and error of the game, isn't it?
There are, and most of it's intuitive. I will be really fair to the game. Most of it is intuitive. You start playing around with things and things start to stick into place. There are a couple of points, though, where I will be completely honest with you. I found it out purely through trial and error. It's that whole thing of combining items or clicking on things at certain points. And I was doing it out of sheer frustration, almost. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm just messing about. And I was like, oh, hang on. And suddenly I've got a new dialogue line. And I was like, oh, okay. I would never, I don't think in a million years I'd have thought to do that. Maybe I would have done through trial, you know, process of elimination. But there were a couple of those moments when I was like, oh, if I'd not clicked on that then, I could have had another three time loops where I wouldn't have progressed anything and I'd have got really annoyed. So I think it's one of those things where I think the idea is really clever, like in terms of the principle of what it's trying to do, like it's a small time loop and that. But I do think that because it doesn't let you skip any of it, because it really can't, because otherwise it wouldn't be the time loop, it constrains you into having to relive things over and over again, which gets really repetitive and annoying, especially if you don't click what you need to do, because then you just feel like an idiot and you have to, it's like if you kept dying at the same place in any kind of platform, you have to keep replaying the same level again to try a new thing. It's like that, but dialed up to 11 almost. What I will say though, it's not a terrible game. Like, no. Some of the plot and click bits and the way it uses items and stuff and things in the environment are very clever. Obviously, it's got an amazing cast. So, you know, the lot's been made of, like, James McAvoy.
Yeah, but I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem. I think that's overhyped a game that is... And also being Annapurna published.
I think the game is
a little bit of a victim of overhype. It's not bad, but it's...
No, I do
people
think...
People thought it was going to be mind-blowing.
I've played it because I really wanted to play it because of that hype,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I think the sad thing, you know, almost having that cast is that, you know, they deliver what they deliver fine, but it's never some like grand, like, you know, scenes. It's almost very bitty. And what I also will say is I think the ending, if you get to it and when people get to it, I think it will divide opinion as well. I think some people will go, I don't like, that's ridiculous. That's,
isn't it? I've read it's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous and a little bit weird. Like, So like, some people will go, ah, oh, I think that's really clever. That's, you know, and there are multiple endings and some people will be talking about it and all that and get really into it and fair play to them because I get why that would resonate with some people. There'll be other people who will just go, what? I'm not happy that's where it's ended. And I feel like that's a shame, with it, because that's like the crescendo, that's the climax of it. And if you're one of those people, and that's fine if you are, where he just goes, oh, really? Then I think the journey won't be worth it. And some of the journey can be a bit of a slog.
Okay, Chris, continue to talk about that for a minute because I've got someone knocking at my door. So okay. Just say more about the game.
Okay, I'll try. So I think I'm trying to think what to say now. So I think the other thing I will say, actually, the one thing I haven't mentioned, actually, I do think that the sound in this game is very good. So like the atmosphere that it builds, not just the voice acting, but the there are some pretty dark moments, and there are, and without spoiling, some dark moments you don't need to see, some you absolutely do and some you don't, like they're optional dark moments, which is a bit dark in itself. But the kind of like the ambient sound that kind of follows those dark moments is really quite well delivered. Like it's like they are shocking, and you know, and you've got like claps of thunder and thing that just add to the atmosphere. So I do think the sound is very good. Visually, it's a top-down thing, so it's very hard to kind of wax lyrical about the visuals. The style is good. Character animations are a little bit,
do you know,
clumsy, but
do you know, one of the things,
purpose.
I think my biggest problem with it, I'm sorry, emergency over. Well, it's not, but I'm on a live podcast, so we'll deal with that later. I think the biggest thing I've got with it is my initial feeling is that it's a very clever game, or it thinks it's a very clever game, but it's one of those where immediately you can't do what you want to do. Like the first loop sets its stall out. It's the home invasion aspect. Like, I think it's a little bit unusual in that you kind of have to go on a flight of fancy with it, because it's like even the game's label will call the invader a cop, and it's very, very obvious from the very start. That's not a police officer. Like, apart from the dress code, the way he speaks and acts, and the immediate violence, like, you know, I'm not saying, trust me, we all know what police can be like, but like the immediacy of the violence. So, but even that, go on that flight of fancy. The second thing, you know, we're all in relationships here. The second thing you would do, it would be very difficult to convince your other half, so to speak, that, you know, I'm in a time loop. And that's part of the game, and you have to, and there are ways of proving it, and they're quite clever. But you would know, any one of us three would be like, they're going to think I'm mad. And rightly so. If you genuinely were there, like, going, no, I'm living a time loop, you know, rightly so, they would think he needs to see a doctor. Rightly so. If you knew all of this, and you'd be like, I'm going to try and convince this person that I'm living a time loop, but it's going to be difficult because, you would appreciate how hard that would be. You just would make sure the door didn't get opened. You just would. You would, because lock the door. You can lock the door, but there's no way of stopping her opening the door. You can then force your way inside, and there are other things you can do, and I know this, but like the fundamental core aspect of it is, if I had lived the first loop, there would be no earthly power that would stop me from protecting my partner. And it's just one of those, sometimes there's these little things in a game where you just can't get past them. But from that moment where I couldn't do it, I kind of just felt like this is a flight of fancy too far. I know it's a game.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. But like, there are immersion breakers in it like that.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Like, it's grounded in reality, this game.
Yeah, and it's a shame because what I hope comes from this is that the idea is taken but is executed in a way that doesn't have those elements to it, in the sense that, if, because you know that I don't think I'm spoiling too much here, but like, you know, the cop comes, you try and convince your wife, like, let's just leave before they get here, right? It's not,
yeah.
And yet every time you do that, no matter whether that's minute one or like minute six, he's coming out the elevator. to say.
My initial thought as well, hang on, if this is one of those games where it's like, you know, I choose your own adventure, you know, I would be, right, I'm going to get that knife and I'm going to go out the door and I know he's coming up the lift. As soon as he comes out, I'm going to stab him. If that's what it comes to, that's what it comes to.
Yeah.
Second you walk out the door, the loop starts again.
Yeah. And because I know why that happens.
Yeah, because it's not the narrative they want to be told.
Exactly. Yeah. So in that sense, it feels a little bit sort of like it's almost a bit forced. I feel like
it's a linear game.
Yes, it's a very linear game.
But it's also not, because you have to play by its rules and work out what it wants you to do.
You have to work out what
to allow
path
you to progress.
Yeah, you have to work out what the linear path is. And I do think there will be people that will stop before they get to that, and you're probably one of them. It's a shame.
I don't hate it, but I don't have time for the game that doesn't respect my time, and that's kind of ironic given that it's about 12 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely, but it does.
I feel like it doesn't respect my time because
it's stupid.
You make a mistake, you are playing it again.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, you probably would step back from it and go, it's actually not taken too much of my time, but you're playing the same 5-minute loop over and over again.
Yeah, that I mean, I was fast forwarding the dialogue like right away.
Yeah,
because
and
I've
you
seen
are.
That loop.
Yeah, yeah, and but like, so the when you add up those minutes that you've played, you're probably not playing too long a time, but you're like, but I'm not sure how much fun I've actually had. So it feels longer. Time's dragged, ironically, for the name of the game. And you know, I'm one of those people, rightly or wrongly, that's like, I'm playing this. This is not besting me, and so I've played it through.
Chris.
But
oh, Chris.
Like I know I'm the people's champion, but like it.
Really what I was thinking.
I know. I just sort of said it because I hope someone might go,
It did start with C, I'll give you that. People's Chris, like, obviously. I don't know why you're laughing at your name.
I just find my name very funny. There will be people that if they like point and click, they like a challenge.
My name very funny. Ooh. Sorry. That washed over me a little bit and then it caught up with me. My name very funny.
I do think that there will be people out there that if they like point and click adventures and they know what they're walking into, there is a quite interesting different story going on here that people will get enjoyment out of. But know what you're going into when you go into it, and if you're still up for it, then I think you'll get a lot out of it, because it was definitely the ending wasn't what I was expecting.
You have finished. Oh yeah, so you saw what you mentioned. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow, okay. Fair play. Okay.
Yeah. I have also finished it.
Finished as well.
I didn't realize you played it. I wonder if you did.
Sorry, Lyle.
It's all right. Chris was on a bit of a roll, so I was letting him go for it.
Is this a bit where you go 10 out of 10 best game?
I mean, it's not where I go 10 out of 10, but I did actually like really quite enjoy it. I think I went in quite differently to Chris, and I'll admit it wasn't what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting, you know, sort of like a straight point and click, and then obviously that's in a time loop. But the way I played it was partner was sat next to me, and we were just going through like discussing every option that we could go for. Sort of like it almost felt like we weren't necessarily seeking the way to continue. We were just sort of playfully mixing things and thinking, oh, well, what would happen if we did this? What would happen if we, like, I mean, obviously the game doesn't really like think this is going to be this doesn't feel like it's the route that's going to take us to the ending, but like maybe we can get our wife to do this thing or and you know, that sounds weirder than I thought.
It's fine.
But I thought it was enjoyable in that way. I definitely understand the criticism of like, I sort of, one of my thoughts was if I was reviewing this game and doing it on a time constraint and I was like desperately trying to progress, I think I'd be really annoyed. If I wasn't just sort of like, you know, having a nice time sort of investigating what's around in the setting and things like that. I feel like it was, we almost played it like we played Her Story, you know, where it was just sort of two of us experimenting with different things, different, like, what different mechanics and what different things had happened. And I mean, it's maybe not quite as memorable a game as Her Story, but I mean, we played it through in sort of like one evening, did very much enjoy it. And There are certainly plot twists.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend I don't know what they are. I must admit, I wouldn't have seen that one coming. I
would have seen
confess.
Two of them coming if I wanted to see.
Yeah, okay, fair. It's definitely an interesting game. I think I do think it's a it's for me personally it's a victim of hype because it was so not what I was expecting when I finally got to play it, because I was not expecting it to be an I was expecting an adventure game, not an actual point and click game. Like, I thought that you would move the character, at least, like if you're playing on Xbox with the stick and interact with things, it would be that kind of whereas it is literally like you click somewhere and they walk to it, and that actually makes it a little bit cumbersome for me. Like it kind of, I had one moment where he kept sort of turning around on himself, but like,
yeah,
I kind
really of, I want to go through that door, not just stand in the doorway kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, and stuff like that.
Also, I mean, there's someone will write the article, but there's an article to write about that house or that flat. Like, that is a strange place, full stop. Like the proportions of the rooms and it's not something we want to dissect here, but let's do some listener correspondence, because this is one that should cheer us all up. And the first one is from Discord, and it's from McPoo, who wants to know, what are your favourite cosy games? The trouble is, by the way, he actually answers with mine. So he says, what are your favourite cosy games? Stuff like Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, games that are really relaxing and calm. There is a second part to his question, but let's get this nice bit out of the way first. Who wants to go first? What are your cosy games?
I'll jump in with an obvious one that it's satisfactory for me.
Oh,
I find that game so like calming and zen. Like I've played so much of it. Like obviously played it so much with you, Adam. Mm. I've played a stupid amount of time with it on my own. Like with my own, just for the purposes of doing the same thing that we've done, just on my own, because I just find it so relaxing. To the point where Zoe takes a mic at me, she's like, "You're just playing that conveyor belt game again." But she's not. But it really relaxes me. There's something so satisfying about making everything efficient.
I mean, the literally is the name of the game.
It is very satisfactory, and that's been one of the ones that I've been playing a lot this year, so it's very relevant. So definitely that's mine.
Okay, I've got one, but Lyle, if you'd like to go next, it's up to you, mate.
Go, sure thing. Okay, so I don't really... relaxing games don't really work for me very often. I don't relax. No relaxing here. So like the games that I generally find the most sort of like calming, sort of like get into my zen moment, are things like Musou games. I mean, Spelunky to me is relaxing, but which might not really be the same as what most people would think. But I mean, just having played it so much.
Is it you or my friend this that plays a lot of Ark? I'm sure there's someone.
Yeah, that's a lot. I play that a lot with my partner, and that is quite relaxing to be playing, building like houses and things like that. I think if I'm going to pick one that's sort of cozy and relaxing and kind of thematically like that, I'm going to go with Pokemon Snap, because I mean, maybe quite expected, but I mean, you're literally just, you're on rails, you're watching adorable animals, you're taking photos, you're sort of learning how you can interact with them in different ways to get better photos. It's about as calm a game as you can get. You're not going to go into it and get all amped up afterwards. You're just taking pictures, and it's nice.
Fair enough. I think the thing is, my answer would be Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, but I don't want to answer them because they literally what Pooh says. But the trouble is, by not being allowing myself to answer them, I'm kind of going to stereotype myself in that I'd probably be Mario Maker 2. Like if I don't know what I want to play, but I really just want to do something, you know what I mean?
Your fallback game.
Just sticking on that and just going through. And I'm not going to put them on super expert or anything like that. I'm just going to play some normal or expert and just, you know. The other one, again, probably surprising no one, and I discovered this year, and I think this might become a yearly tradition for me, is Super Mario Odyssey. Like I know I talked about it on the pod like earlier in this year. I think it was this year, wasn't it? Was it this year? I think it was this year.
Yeah, because it was around 3D World, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
Wow,
your memory is better than mine. My own life. I played it. But no, like that game, there's just something about that game. And I think it's because if you really want to get into it, you can, like, my son showed me when it first came out, like, I reviewed it, but he showed me all these techniques after he'd watched all the YouTubers doing it, you know, where you can just chain together things that you wouldn't even think of doing until you see someone else do them, and then you're like, oh yeah, I can do that with all the, you know, stuff that requires the motion because of the way you have to chain it. If you want to get into all that, it's there, and if you want to get the really hard moons, but if you just want to go through that game, every single planet, every single location is lovely. Every part of that game is just nice, and I find it really zen to just, because you can literally just, oh, there's a lump in the ground, I'll ground pound it, oh, moon, you know what I mean? Some of them are almost insultingly easy. I just find that very, yeah, I find it really cozy. I you know, I review a lot of Nintendo stuff, and a lot of their stuff, I think, is because it makes me feel nice. It takes away a lot of that outsidey, worldy stuff. And it, you know, it's cozy. But secondly, this is just for Lyle. Wants to know, can Lyle say on camera with a straight face that Duke Nukem Forever is genuinely a good game? Now, before you do, I want to ask if Chris what he thinks. First question is, do you think he can? Second question is, if he does, do you think he genuinely means it, or he's just a good actor? Like, I think what I'm getting at is, do you believe he really means it?
I think what's going to happen is he'll compose himself, do it, but he'll be lying behind the eyes. I don't think he believes it.
Oh my god, you just made it darker than it needed to be. Well, Lyle, I mean, listen, you're the only thing anyone watching this video can see right now.
Okay. Well,
this is your moment.
I think, hand on heart, I think that Duke Nukem Forever is a good game. I don't think it's a great game. I think it's sort of like a solid 7.5 maybe at a push. But I think that Duke Nukem Forever is a good game. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was stupid. It was occasionally horrific in, you know, certain ways. But realistically, I just sort of, I had fun playing through it.
Important question. Did you play it at launch, like when it came out?
I played it maybe a year later.
Oh, Christ, I was hoping you'd say like 10, and you look, because then you could enjoy it ironically, but maybe enjoy it ironically. Yeah. But like, do you know the real gutting thing? Like, is I really loved Duke Nukem 3D. Like, for me, that game is a landmark first person shooter, and I know it wasn't doing much that, you know, like, the others weren't, but it was different. And I know, again, problematic. I know there are things in that game that you just wouldn't get made now, but at the time I would have been quite young, I would say, probably not a teenager, but quite young. And, you know, teenagers do stupid shit. So it wouldn't have even occurred to me at the time. So I was one of those that was like, oh, I really want a new Duke Nukem to be good. Apparently it is, Chris.
It is, so that's fine, yeah.
I was saying it's good.
I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, I definitely, I liked Duke Nukem 3D, but I can't say I was excited for Duke Nukem Forever. I was expecting it to be bad, and I thought it was, you know, it was all right. It was fine. I got through the whole game. I didn't get bored.
I feel like we've gone from not great to good to it was all right, it's fine. And I feel like you're doing that without your voice going higher, which is, that's the impressive thing. That's making me think it's an act, though. He's just very good, because his voice isn't going each time, is it?
Well, that's it. That's all. That's all I can have to say. I'm serious enough about Duke Nukem Forever being, you know, a 7.
Ironically,
you're more serious about Duke Nukem than they are about Duke Nukem. Yeah. The people who make the Duke Nukem games, by the sounds of it. LlamaFluff 42, also from Discord. What two songs would you mash together, DJ Hero style, to make the perfect song? Now, Thomas has sent in many a question. He is probably our most loyal listener correspondent, sir. I think this is the most impossible question he's ever asked.
I know. I was saying, so my head straight away went to Fuser.
Fuser, exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Because I was like, Fuser showed me that any song.
It's also a modern DJ hero
with Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Any song.
What is that? Duke Nukem Forever's been brought up. Rick Astley's been brought up. Like, what is.
But I mean, I guess Fuser proves that anything can work, right? So let's just throw some good songs out there. Smells Like Teen Spirit. Let's start with that.
Now, be careful. Have you? No, I'm sorry. I've got to bring this up. You've mentioned it. Have you seen the most recent story about the Smells Like Teen Spirit?
Yeah. The album cover stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
So, Lyle, are you familiar with Smells Like Teen Spirit?
I am, yes.
You're familiar with Nevermind? Is it your genre? Do you like that kind of music?
I like very little music, but I know everything there is to know about this, probably. Okay. I know the story, I think.
You've seen it. It's very recent. A friend sent it to me, yeah. And I read it twice, and then I went back to him and said, this is... It's not on The Onion, though. This is...
No. This is what just tangentials, I'm sorry. But like,
yeah, no, I just... No, I had to find out.
The story is crazy because, like, the guy... I'm sure this is the same guy because, obviously, he's the baby. But, like, he's done photo shoots.
He has. And he has Nevermind tattooed on his chest.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden just goes, hang on, it's outrageous. it's sexual exploitation. I'm sorry, you've just thought that, have you? Like,
don't sue them. Sue your mum and dad because they're the ones who sent it to you.
Yeah.
But they haven't got any money, have they? So
it felt very much like chancing it kind of thing. I did think that when I read it, but
I can't believe the fucking sass that we're getting in the chat here. Sorry,
it's
you have to
superb.
Be careful asking Adam. Oh, you have to be careful, Adam, asking grown men if they're familiar with Teen Spirit. I thought it was an age joke for a minute there. I apologise, Philip. I thought it was you talking about me talking about teens. Doesn't matter. Sorry, Chris, your mashup.
So smells like
Teen Spirit.
Yeah, we got there, didn't we? Well, obviously Rick Astley goes with anything. We should put some Michael Jackson in there or something, shouldn't we?
You only got to do two songs. Why are you mashing three up now, making it more difficult?
Well, I thought you wouldn't allow him Rick Astley, so I was thinking of something else.
I can't choose what you can do. I'm not control your choices.
I'm going to put Smells Like Teen Spirit and Billie Jean together. There we go.
I really don't feel like there's... But
it will work. Magical.
Lyle, I mean, you said you're not that into music, so is it unfair, or does anything spring to mind?
I've got an answer ready. Don't you worry.
There you go.
Okay, so my pairing might seem a bit random, but I think it's going to work. Is Earth, Wind & Fire's Spectacular September?
Good strong start.
And Men at Work Down Under. I think they go together. I think that's good.
There's a similar kind of twang to both of them.
Yeah. I was going to go for Jimmy Eat World's The Middle, and I fell off of it because there is a song, and it was one of these moments that really made me depressed about the state of modern music, because Jimmy Eat World The Middle is like their breakout song that made them. It was the MTV2 song that everyone knew the band from. And there's another artist, like a pop artist, I think a female pop artist, who did a song that is not similar, the same. And normally in that situation, the person who wrote the original goes, money, you owe me money.
Mm.
But because this is a huge pop artist, they went, oh, it's really quite flattering. And you're like, you know, they don't think that, but they know they are not winning a case against this person because they are gigantic in the music industry. And while they're a big band, they're not, you know, they're not like Taylor Swift or someone like... It was someone like that. It was someone that level.
Listen, I'm trying to think what... I can't think of the song now, so I'm...
It is so similar. Like,
I'm trying to think.
And whenever it used to come on at work, it used to just... And what's the other... I mean, the mashups are kind of a thing now. Like, what's that one that they did, Tracy Chapman's Fast Car? That they just basically sampled that whole song and made it like a techno-y dance song. And it's like, every time that came on, it made me want to claw my eyes out as well. Which is weird because it's my ears that you'd think would be the thing that I was upset about. But my eyes apparently were the... Philip Tindall says, I mean, he's very nice, but incorrect here. We all know you guys are great at playing games in general.
Well.
You say that when I've spent hours today editing future content.
Don't spoil.
I'm not going to say what it is or what happens, but you say you're good at games.
Superb,
you don't,
the best
you
gamer
don't,
ever.
You don't
yeah.
look good at games. From
I'm really good at
one.
Hiding it.
Okay. Anyway, his question. But what are any of the seemingly everyday things in life that you do fail at? I'll give you an example, he says. In my case, it would be shaving. I should have read this before. Even though I've been doing it for over two decades, I still end up looking like I've stepped out of a set of A Nightmare on Elm Street. I've tried growing a beard like many of you fine gentlemen, but being fair-haired and Celtic-blooded... invariably, all I sprout are long random clusters of ginger hairs on my face. So I walk a daily tightrope of looking like Freddy Krueger or what I imagine one of Ed Sheeran's balls resemble.
This is a superb question / statement. I love it.
Yep. What simple everyday... This, I love that he's added all of that when he could have just said, what simple everyday thing doing if you fail at or struggle with? But he's added all that context.
Yeah, we've got a background story. It's fine.
So, yeah, simple things. I mean, I was going to say diet for me. Like, I pretty much fail at that.
Yeah.
That's like a constant struggle. Waistlines. Yeah. Normally.
That seems fair for... Me too. Yeah, I'll take that.
I think we can't all pick that. We got what are we going to go
so through? I can't whistle, and it annoys me. And every time I try, I just sort of go like that. Like I just sort of like yeah,
see,
what I can do.
That's just blowing.
No, I know,
and I know you're good at that, Chris. But
but I can't. I've never been. It's always like sometimes like when I do like if I'm doing a yawn and I stifle it, then sometimes you get like a whistling sound by mistake. But like I can never. I know.
I'm so
I know.
Sorry.
I can
I'm
never.
Sorry.
I know.
You yawn and accidentally whistle as a byproduct of a yawn.
Every now and then, if I accidentally
have you got a
like...
hole in your neck that you yeah, don't know about? Like,
yeah, it's like a tracheotomy that's gone wrong or something.
Someone shoved a bick in there to save your life once, and you never bothered to get it.
Like I can't miss. I've never been able to do it. Like so that's
and that
one
bothers
thing.
You.
It. I mean, it bothers me that everyone else finds it so fucking easy. Like it's just they were born with this thing, and I just can't do it.
Like every.
I don't know if it's because my lips are too fat or something. I don't know, but I can't do it, and it irritates me.
I much prefer the idea that like every night you're awake in bed just
yeah,
thinking.
That is, yeah, exactly that. That was my next question.
Just try just doing this. Just going like. Just not being able to do it.
Really, you're not. You really can't whistle.
No, I really can't. And also, there's this thing where people like put their fingers in their mouth and can do it.
Yeah,
like,
I can't do that.
I don't even know what people are doing. They're making shit up now. Like they're just like.
You mean like they're
freestyling? Yeah.
Well, sorry, what did you say then? Freestyling.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Different ways of whistling.
A whistle, but with. Why did you call it freestyling?
I don't know, mate. I just put a fancy word in a podcast. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't do it. Anything?
How do you follow that?
I mean, I'm not going to follow it well enough, but I don't know if I'm necessarily like hugely bad at any everyday tasks. But I'm just generically very clumsy. Like, if I'm walking, I'll just bump into walls. I get caught on door frames all the time. Is it just generic?
You or your clothes or you? I love the idea of actually you getting caught on a door. Oh, it's just lava stuck on a door handle.
He's
like...
just there again. Need rescuing.
Oh, that's superb. It's like, where's Lyle?
Oh, it's folded me a little bit. I kind of know where he's coming from. Like, have you never like you know, you got doors in your house, and have you never just banged your elbow on one, and you've been like, that fucking door's been there for 20 years.
Yeah, and no one's moved it.
No one's moved it. Or like stubbing your toe on the bottom of a sofa, bit of furniture or a table or something. That is.
Oh, you find the one bit that's got the little foot or something, and you just
And you just somehow you've walked through like from like the kitchen for us to the lounge. I mean, I wouldn't even like to, you know, I would say a million times. I doubt that's an exaggeration. I probably have, and somehow when nothing's moved, you manage to kick wood that has not moved.
And
it is like, I've broken my toe. I have broken my toe.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think I can actually empathize with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just trying
I need
to think
whiskers,
of, like,
don't I? I like a cat. They have whiskers, don't they? To like, and obviously, cats have whiskers, but like to kind of tell them how wide they are. Like, so that's what I need going through doors and things.
I mean, you're right. I've just never thought of it with the logic of it's to tell them how wide they are.
Well, that is what they're for, isn't it? Because
if they're
whiskers,
to be able to judge how wide the gap is.
Yeah, so if they things hit their whiskers, they know they won't get through it. That's the point. That's what it's
no,
for.
Again, I'm not disagreeing with the. It's
You're
semantics.
Just imagining me with
it's
big
semantics,
whiskers now,
but like, no, I just the idea of a kitty cat going, hang on a minute. Can't fit down the back of the sofa. I'm a bit too wide. It's like,
it just probably doesn't stop them. To be fair,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think that's probably
you've got to give an answer. Come on,
I can't think of. It's going to sound really arsely because I'm trying to think of something that's every
I'm
day
so
that
good
I'm bad
at.
I'm pretty good, mate. I'm not going to like.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at being bad. Like.
Yeah.
I said at the start, dieting, like I have tried dieting all my life, and it just the simplest of things. It doesn't seem hard. Everyone else seems to be able to do it, to be like, go, 3 bars of chocolate's enough. And I'm like, no, 5. I can't help myself. Like, to be honest with you, I think mine all comes from when I quit smoking many, 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 many years ago. It's almost like a thing, you know, you just, something to do with your hands. And that, instead of doing, I'll just slap myself in the face on camera now, really.
Yeah.
But that basically became that instead. And like, I don't know which one's more unhealthy. So maybe I should take up smoking again. on that note, thank you very much, anyone who has watched this or listened to it in the future or in the past or whenever you're listening. We have a Patreon and we have merchandise now you can buy. I don't have any in the room with me. There's a cushion over there, but I'm hot and I'm not moving in this coloured t-shirt. The aforementioned diet doing wonders again. But you can find the merch link on godisageek.com. You can find the Patreon link on godisageek.com, as can you find everything else, content from these lovely chaps and, well, videos, just everything. Everything's on there. But if you really want to go that extra mile, patreon.com/godisageek. It really helps us out, funds the site, essentially. And that said, if you just want to click your thumbs up, the bell button, subscribe, that's great too. All helps. That's, if you know, tough times, appreciate it. Even that like, it's like, well, I'm not going to say it's like a pound because it's not, but it's emotionally, it's emotionally like a pound, which is important. So thank you very much. Lyle and Chris, thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's been fun.
A delight.
Thank you to Philip Tindall for the super chat, as he is just that man.
Legend.
Steve Chambers has said, can we talk about Lyle's beautiful shirt? Have to be next time now, mate. It'll have to be next time. I've done the outro spiel now. You can't go back once you've done the outro spiel. But it is a very, very nice shirt. Is it comfortable? Is it, you know, the material?
It is. It's nice. Yeah.
You've literally just gone, we'll have to wait for next time, and then start talking about the show.
Mate, who's hosting this podcast?
Well, we're a team.
Come on, just take a breather.
We're a team.
Go back to saving your fictional wife in 12 minutes, all right? Just chill out. We'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.